Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The sermon verse comes from our Old Testament reading today, Isaiah 66, verse 19. They shall come and they shall see my glory, and I will set a sign among them. Thus far, the reading of the text. Isaiah 66 is the last chapter in Isaiah's book. It's the last chapter of this amazing prophecy from Isaiah. And here we're given a beautiful picture of the last day, of the new heavens and the new earth, of the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, where God dwells on Mount Zion, and all people from north and south, east and west have come to worship him and see my glory. The Holy One of Israel, God, the righteous and just God, the creator of heaven and earth, full of all power and might and honor and strength and blessing. They've come to see his glory and the new heavens and new earth. Heaven. And I will set a sign among them. And that had me thinking, what sign is it that God sets among his people here in Isaiah? So I got to researching, and come to find out, it's a bunch of different signs it could be. A scholar said that sign is a miracle that will be revealed during that time. So in other words, we don't know right now, but when the new heavens and new earth come, God will perform a sign, a miracle that you'll see. It's kind of one of those, you'll know it when you see it sort of things. Another scholar said that the sign was the thing that follows next in the next few verses. People going out and sharing the good news and bringing Gentiles back into the faith. And that's the sign. And another scholar in a similar vein said that it's the church, that the sign is the church, all Gentiles, all believers in Jesus Christ. That's the sign. Luther, though, said that the sign was the word. It's always the word with Luther, the word alone, the message of salvation for all who believe in Jesus Christ, that you are justified freely by God's grace through faith alone, and it's not by anything you do. It's the word, the gospel. Luther always is focusing on the word. That's why we're focusing on it this year, sola scriptura, the word alone, the sign is the word. But if you have a Lutheran study Bible and you looked at this verse, the footnote would tell you that the sign is the altar described in Isaiah 19, 19 through 20. So there you have it. The Lutheran study Bible doesn't even agree with Luther. Who can you trust? So the sign could be a miracle, it could be what follows in the next few verses, it could be the church, it could be the word and the gospel, the sign could be an altar. Maybe, perhaps you find all this research kind of interesting. I find it extremely frustrating, because which sign is it? Which sign is it? Don't you care what sign it is? No, you don't. I can see it in your faces. Help me out a little bit. Go, oh, don't you care what sign it is? It's been extremely frustrating for me researching this all week. Oh. This verse is more true about your life than you realize, though. Because we're all always looking for signs. You're always looking for a sign, aren't you? What sign are you looking for from God? What sign is it that you've been looking for? So often that's our prayer, is, Lord, just give me a sign. What do I do? Give me a sign. Who do I trust? Give me a sign. Where should I pivot? Give me a sign. What should I say? Give me a sign. God, are you even there? Are you even listening? Give me a sign, at least, that you're there. We're always looking for signs. What sign have you been looking for? It's a dangerous game to look for signs. The Pharisees, the scribes, the Jews, an evil and adulterous generation seek for signs. That's what the New Testament warns. And it's dangerous to seek for signs, namely for two reasons. One is that we just always end up reading what we want into the sign. That the sign just further tells us what we already want to know. There's a joke, I'm sure you've heard it. A man and woman are going to get married. And it's the day of their wedding, and the woman already had reservations. So the man didn't have a job. He had no passion, no drive. So on the way to the wedding, a huge storm happened, and the car broke down. And she said, "This surely is a sign." Some of you already know this joke. That's okay. Pretend like you haven't heard it. "Surely this is a sign from God that I shouldn't get married." So she called the man and said, "This is it. This is a sign from God. We're not to get married. It's raining." And he said, "Well, I took that as a sign that God will rain his blessings upon our marriage." She said, "Yeah, but the car is dead." He goes, "Well, you should marry this deadbeat." Ba-dum-tsh. Okay. All right, that's fine. That's all right. It's not that great of a joke anyways. It's okay. But that's the truth of it, is that we often just read into signs what we want to. This is actually called the Rashomon effect. It's got an actual name that two people can witness the very same reality and walk away not with just different interpretations, with completely opposite interpretations. Have you ever been there before where you had a sign and you thought for sure this is what it meant and someone right next to you just saw it completely different? Because that's the danger of signs, is you're always reading into the sign what you just already want it to see anyways. But maybe that hasn't happened to you. And the second danger is what happens to you. You get contradicting signs. You get signs that say, yes, 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 and then signs that say, no, 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 and you're stuck in between the two. Has your life ever felt this way? Life ever felt that way? Or what about this? Has life ever felt that way? Or my favorite one, the last one, has your life ever felt like that? See, in this picture, I instantly saw myself in a forever loop because I always follow the rules and I would just be stuck there forever. Okay. Has your life ever felt that way? Contradicting signs. We're always looking for signs. Give me a sign. What do I do? "And they shall come and shall see my glory, and I will set a sign among them." How frustrating it is to be looking for a sign. It's hard. The church has been waiting for a sign for 6 months, ever since we got this house. What do we do? Where do we go? And we've prayed. Before that, you spent over a year praying for a sign for a pastor to come here. Sorry you got me. But at least you got one. This church has been through a lot of praying collectively, looking for signs. But so have you. Individually in your own life, your own personal life, your matters at work, matters in the family, you're all individually looking for your own sign, and that is extremely frustrating. Give me a sign that I don't have to second guess. Give me a sign that is so sure and absolute that I can stand my entire life on it. Give me a sign that I don't have to interpret into my own way. Give me a sign that is so resolute, so sure of a foundation that I could base my whole life and trust on it. And so God raised up his son on a cross for you. The Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to the Gentiles. And some of the Pharisees say, "Teacher, we want to see a sign from you." And he answered them, "An evil and adulterous generation seeks for signs, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of Jonah. For as the prophet was in the belly of the great fish for 3 days and three nights, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." And the Jews said to him, "What sign do you show us for doing these things?" And Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it back up." And there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. And this man came to Jesus by night and said, "Rabbi, we know you're a teacher that comes from God. No one can do these signs that you do unless God is with them." And Jesus says to him, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. And this will be a sign for you, that you will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." God's sign for you is always Jesus crucified for you. He is the narrow door, the only way to the Father, the gateway to the eternal city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, Mount Zion himself. God's sure sign is always Jesus for you. And it doesn't matter if it's through a house on Rogers Street or through an ice cream social of the church or through these big, beautiful doors of this congregation. We want everyone to come see this sign, the sign that God has given us, that we know for sure that he has paid the price for our sins. He's paid the price for the whole world's sins. And we want everyone to know it so that they can be there too. The city of the living God through the narrow door. God's sure sign for you is always, always, always Jesus. It's always Jesus. He was crucified for you. You're not listening. You're not hearing this. Hear me out. Jesus was crucified for you. He was crucified for you and raised up from the dead so that you can have the sure sign that your sin is forgiven. Absolutely. No questions. You don't have to second guess it. So that you can have the promise of everlasting life. Absolutely, for sure. You don't have to second guess it. Jesus was crucified for you. He was crucified for the whole world. And so we want to show that sign to everyone. We want everyone to come to the narrow door. The only way to the Father is through Jesus, so that everyone could see the glory of God and come and see God's